بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on lowly desires, al-ahwa, and we reached the point where Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that by the help and success granted by Allah, the person will be able to liberate himself from al-hawa, from lowly desire, by holding to the following matters. Number one, a determined free will, which means having a vigilant care and sense of honor for himself, and jealousy protecting it. This is the first one, having a determined free will. These are the means to liberate oneself from following al-hawa, lowly desires. Number one, a determined free will. Secondly, a dose of patience, making himself endure the bitter taste of the moment, meaning the time his hawa is active. Thirdly, strength and self-determination that encourages him to drink that dose of patience. His courage is a moment of forbearance, and the best of living attained by a slave is through his perseverance. Fourthly, being aware of the splendid impression of the outcome and the cure achieved by that dose of perseverance. Five, being aware of the pain that exceeds the pleasure arising from following the lowly desire. Six, keeping his good standing before Allah and in the hearts of Allah's slaves. Certainly, this is better and more beneficial to him than taking pleasure in following his desires. Seventh, preferring the joy of iffah. Iffah means abstinence from what is unlawful and base, virtuousness and decency. This is the meaning of iffah. Preferring the joy of iffah and its honor and sweetness over the pleasure of disobedience and wrongdoing. Eighth, having delight in overcoming his enemy and driving him away, disgraced in his rage, grief and worry, being able to get hold of him as he wishes. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for his slave to abandon and encourage his enemy, as he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said in the noble Quran, وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارَ, as in Surah At-Tawbah, وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارَ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ, nor they take any step to raise the anger of disbelievers, nor inflict any injury upon an enemy, but is written to their credit as a deed of righteousness. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, that he may enrage the disbelievers with them, meaning the Sahaba. Also, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, in chapter 4, verse 100, وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجِدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَةً. He who emigrates from his home in the cause of Allah will find on earth many dwelling places and plenty to live by, which means a place where he abandons and assails the enemies of Allah. The sign of true love is to enrage the enemies of the beloved Allah and to forsake them. Ninth, contemplating the fact that he has not been created to be a slave of desires, but that he has been prepared for a great task that will not be achieved unless he disobeys his desires. As it was said in the poem, قَدْ هَيَّأُوكَ لِأَمْرٍ لَوْ فَطِنْتَ لَهُ فَارْبَأْ بِنَفْسِكَ أَنْ تَرْعَى مَعَ الْهَمَلِ. Indeed, they have prepared you for a task such that if you are aware of it, meaning of the importance and the great outcome, then you would hold yourself above giving respect to the negligent. Tenth, that he should not choose for himself a state such that the unintelligible animal is better than him. Indeed, the animal is able by means of his natural instincts to distinguish between beneficial and harmful situations, preferring the beneficial above the harmful. For the same purpose, man has been endowed with the faculty of reason. If he does not differentiate between what hurts or benefits him, or in the case he realizes this, but prefers what is harmful to him, then the status of an unintelligible animal is better than his. The evidence for this lies in the fact that an animal takes a share of enjoyment in the taste of food, drinks, and sexual relations that is not attainable by man, and that it lives a comfortable life free from thought and worry. Hence, it is driven to its slaughtering place, preoccupied with its lusts, due to the lack of knowledge about the consequences. Man will not procure the same damage done to the animal because of the intensity of the preoccupying thought and the weakness of the used male organ and so forth. Had the attainment of what is desired been a virtue, the right of a man who is the pure extract of the world to it would have not been diminished while making it abundant to the animals. In the augmentation of man's share of reasoning, knowledge and cognition is a substitute of that meaning of the animalistic lust. 11. Let him lead his heart through the consequences of lowly desires and contemplate how many virtues were missed because of his disobedience, and how much radhila, vices, did it make him commit? How many meals became inaccessible because of a few meals? How often a pleasure caused the loss of many? How often did a desire break a rank, lower a head, render a good reputation bad, inherit blame, leave behind it humiliation and dishonor that water cannot wash away, yet the eye of the follower of lowly desire is blind. 12. The intelligent person should imagine the attainment of his desire, his condition after his wish was fulfilled. What did he miss? And what occurred to him? In the poem it is said, أفضل الناس من لم يرتكب سببا حتى يميز لما تجني عواقبه. Most excellent of people is the one who does not embark upon a means to accomplish something until he distinguishes the evil that may be incurred by its consequences. 13. The intelligent person should really imagine what would the situation of another person be after he fulfills his desire, then think of himself as being in the same standing. Indeed, the judgment respect of a thing is the same as respecting the like. 14. He should give a thought as to what his self really demands from him regarding the thing he desires. He should then question his deen and rationale about it. They will inform him that it is nothing. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, and before we talk about what he said, who is Abdullah bin Mas'ud? Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the honorable companion, who accepted Islam early, when Fatima, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with them all, and her husband became Muslims. He was the first to openly recite the Quran in Mecca. The mushriks harmed him for his recitation. He prayed to the first Qibla, Al-Quds, Jerusalem, and to the second and last Qibla of Mecca. He migrated twice, once to Abyssinia, the first migration, and the second to Al-Madinah. He attended the Battle of Badr and that of Uhud and all the other confrontations with the mushriks. The Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, assigned him to teach Islam to the people of Al-Kufa in Iraq. Later, Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, called him to Al-Madinah, where he died in the year 32 after Hijrah, corresponding to 654. He was known for his great knowledge in Quran and its tafsir. The Prophet ﷺ attested to Abdullah's knowledge. And if you examine always the words of Abdullah, you would see them as gift coming from prophethood. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, quote, "If anyone of you admires, he should keep himself far from the humiliation of desires why is that? Because whenever someone obeys his hawa, he will sense disgrace within himself. He should not be deceived by the force, assault, and pride of the followers of desires, for they have the most lowly internal character of men. They have mustered both arrogance and humiliation." 16. He should compare the safety of deen, honor and property and rank to the attainment of the desired pleasure. He will not find any suitability whatsoever between them. Then he should be aware that he is from the most ignorant of men if he could trade his deen, honor, property, rank for that lowly desire. 17. He should keep himself far from being under the subdual of his enemy, the shaitan, who, if he sees the slave in a state of weak determination and motivation, and having an inclination towards his desires, he would eagerly hope to overcome and possess him, and control him with the bridle of desire, leading him wherever he wants. And whenever he senses in him a strong determination, self-honor, and high motivation, he would not hope to get hold of him except secretly and by the way of deceit or circumvention. Especially at times of unawareness. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "You are at a time when the truth leads desire, and there shall come a time when desires will lead the truth. So we seek refuge in Allah from that time to come." 18. He should realize that al-hawa does not associate with any affair except that it corrupts it. If it gets to the knowledge, it causes him to go to bid'ah, to innovation, and to dalala, and misguidance. And its follower will become from amongst ahlul ahwa, the people of desires, ahlul ahwa, the people who follow concepts of belief and methodologies of understanding and practices, deviating from the right path or from the truth, thus following their desires. If it affects az-zuhd, it will lead its adherent to ar-riya, to show off. What is az-zuhd? Az-zuhd means to lead a pious life, devoted to Allah, taking the least that is sufficient of the lawful things of life. It does not mean to abandon lawful means of earning, property, children, etc., nor exaggerating in performing acts of worship. This is the meaning of zuhd. If it affects the zuhd, meaning if desires affect the zuhd, it will lead its adherent to ar-riya. What is ar-riya? Showing off, and not doing an action solely for the sake of Allah. No. And to stand in opposition to as-sunnah. mystic Sufis adopted ways of zuhd that stand in direct opposition to the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ's sunnah. If it gets in a legal judgment, meaning if desires gets in a legal judgment, it leads its follower to injustice and hinders him from the truth. If it gets to the division of al-qisma, what is al-qisma? Al-qisma, generally, it refers to the division of property, shares, booties, profits, etc. In the Quran, it refers to the division of the deceased's property in accordance with the laws of inheritance. So if desires gets to the division of al-qisma, it changes. It changes from a just into an unjust division. If it gets to the decisions of wilaya, what is wilaya? Wilaya, appointing a person in charge of an office or an authority over a thing, like town, district, country, province, or the like. This is the meaning of wilaya. If it gets to the decisions of the wilaya and azl, al-azl is removal of someone from his office or exercise of authority. So if it gets to the decisions of wilaya, appointing people in authority, and azl, and removing someone from office, etc., it leads its adherent to commit treason against Allah and against the Muslims, whereby he puts in charge or removes from duty according to his desires. If it enters into worship, it will deviate him from obedience and means of closeness to Allah. Thus, it associates not with anything, but renders it corrupt. 19. He should realize that there is no way for the shaitan to come upon the son of Adam. He should realize that there is no way for the shaitan to come in upon the son of Adam except from the gate of his desires. He goes around him trying to find how to invade him so that he renders his heart and deeds corrupt. The only means of entrance he finds is that of desires, and so he creeps along with it like poison creeping in the body. 20th. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the desires, al-hawa, an opposite to what he has revealed to his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has made its following directly opposite to the following of his messengers, and he classified mankind into two groups, the followers of revelation and the followers of desires. And this is found in many places in the Quran, as in Allah saying in Surah Al-Qasas 28:50, قال الله تعالى فإن لم يستجيبوا لك فاعلم أنما يتبعون أهواءهم. And if they answer you not, meaning they don't follow the doctrine of Tawheed, then know that they only follow أهواءهم, the evil inclinations, lust, desire, etc. And in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:120, قال الله عز وجل ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير. And if you, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if you were to follow there the Jews and the Christians desires after what you have received of knowledge, meaning the Quran, then you would find neither a wali, protector or guardian, nor any helper against Allah. And there are other verses also. 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likened the followers of desire to the most contemptible animals in form and in concept. Sometimes he compared them to a dog, as in his saying subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf 7:176, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ. But he clung to the earth and followed his own vain desires. So his description is the description of a dog. If you drive him away, he lolls his tongue out. Or if you leave him alone, he still lolls his tongue out. Sometimes he compared them to wild donkeys. قال الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Muddathir in 74, 52 and 51، كأنهم حمر مستنفرة فرت من قسورة. As if they were frightened wild donkeys fleeing from a hunter or a lion or a beast of prey. Sometimes he changed their forms into that of monkeys and pigs. The one who follows al-hawa desires neither deserves to be obeyed nor to be an imam or to be followed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed him away from imama, from leading as an imam, and forbade obedience to him. As to his removal, it is because Allah said to his Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and al-Khalil, the one whom Allah has distinguished by love and honor. Ibrahim al-Khalil is a prophet whom, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has distinguished him by love and honor. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in 2:124, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Verily I am going to make you a leader, prophet of mankind. Ibrahim said, and of my offspring, meaning to make leaders. Allah said, my covenant includes not the polytheists and wrongdoers. Which means that my covenant regarding prophethood, leadership, etc. does not include the polytheist and wrongdoer. Anyone who follows his desire is a zalim, a wrongdoer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَلِ اتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. As in Surah Al-Rum in 30:29, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, nay, but those who do wrong follow their own ahwa desires without knowledge. The prohibition to obey the follower of desire because of Allah's saying. It is in Surah Al-Kahf 18:28. قال الله عز وجل ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. And obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, one who followed his hawa and whose affair deeds has been lost. 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the one who follows desire at the same rank as that of the image worshipper. He subhanahu wa ta'ala said in two places on the Quran. One of them is in 25 Surah Al-Furqan, verse 43. قال الله عز وجل أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هوا. Have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen him who has taken his ilah, God, his own hawa, his desires? Al-Hasan, meaning Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he was born in Medina in the year 21 corresponding to 642. He was a learned faqih, devout and respected scholar. He died in the city of Basra in Iraq in the year 110 corresponding to 728 after Hijrah. He commented on this verse by saying, he is the hypocrite. There is nothing that he desires except that he follows it. He also said, the hypocrite is a slave of his desire. There is nothing that he desires except that he commits it. Verily, al-hawa, desire, is the hidar, anything forming a barrier, an obstruction, a partition, or a fence. This is the meaning of hidar. Al-hawa is the hidar of hellfire, which surrounds it. He who walks across it will fall in hell. Just as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith reported in the Sahihain, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حفت الجنة بالمكاره وحفت النار بالشهوات. In the hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Al-Jannah, paradise, is surrounded by all kinds of disliked and undesirable things, while the fire of hell is surrounded by all kinds of desires and passions. and in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, in the hadith of Abi Huraira, which he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam said, لما خلق الله الجنة والنار أرسل جبريل إلى الجنة فقال انظر إليها وإلى ما أعددت لأهلها فيها قال فجاءها فنظر إليها وإلى ما أعد الله لأهلها فيها قال فرجع إليه قال فوعزتك لا يسمع بها أحد إلا دخلها فأمر بها فحفت بالمكاره فقال ارجع إليها فانظر إلى ما أعددت لأهلها فيها قال فرجع إليها فإذا هي قد حفت بالمكاره فرجع إليها فقال وعزتك لقد حفت أو خفت أن لا يدخلها أحد قال اذهب إلى النار فانظر إليها وإلى ما أعددت لأهلها فيها فإذا هي يركب بعضها بعضا فرجع إليه فقال وعزتك لا يسمع بها أحد فيدخلها فأمر بها فحفت بالشهوات فقال ارجع إليها فرجع إليها فقال وعزتك لقد خشيت أن لا ينجو منها أحد إلا دخلها. قال الترمذي أبو عيسى رحمه الله هذا حديث حسن صحيح. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and the hellfire, He sent Jibreel to paradise, to Al-Jannah, and said, go and look at it and at what I have prepared therein for its people. He went and looked at it and what Allah has prepared therein for its people. Then came to him, to Allah, and said, by your might, no one who hears of it will fail to enter it. He gave an order respecting it, and accordingly it was surrounded with undesirable things, and said to Jibreel, go and look at it, and at the things which I have prepared therein for its people. He went and looked at it, and found that it was surrounded with disliked and undesirable things. Then came to him, to Allah, and said, by your might, I am afraid that none will enter it. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then said to him, go to An-Nar, to hellfire, and look at it, and at the things which I have prepared therein for its people. He went, and found that it was heaped up, one part upon another. Then he came to Allah and said, by your might, no one who hears of it will enter it. He gave a command respecting it, and it was surrounded with desirable things and passions, and then he said, go back to it. He went and said, by your might, I am afraid that no one will remain who does not enter it. This hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, who said it is Hasanun Sahih. And it's also reported by An-Nasa'i and Abu Dawood, and Sheikh Al-Albani concluded that it is authentic. It is feared that he who follows the desires may become altogether detached from Iman, from faith, while being unaware. In fact, it has been confirmed that the Prophet ﷺ said, أخوف ما أخاف عليكم شهوات الغي في بطونكم وفروجكم ومضلات الهوى. The most dreadful thing I fear in regard to you is the seductive lusts in your bellies and in your private parts, and the misleading ways of desire. This is reported by Ahmad and Al-Haythami, who said it was reported by Ahmad, Al-Bazzar, and Al-Tabarani, and its narrators are men of Sahih. 26. The following of desire is from the destructive sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, ثلاث منجيات وثلاث مهلكات فأما المنجيات فتقوى الله عز وجل في السر والعلانية والقول بالحق في الرضا والسخط والقصد في الغنى والفقر وأما المهلكات فهوى متبع وشح مطاع وإعجاب المرء بنفسه المرء بنفسه. Three things lead to safety and three cause destruction. Those that lead to safety are fearing Allah in secrecy and in the open, uttering the truth at times of satisfaction and anger, and moderation at times of poverty and wealth. As to the three that causes or cause destruction, they are al-hawa, desire, being followed, niggardliness, being obeyed, and conceitedness. And الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله concluded that this hadith is Hassan, is good. 27. The opposing of al-hawa inherits strength in the heart, tongue and body. Some of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, rahimahumullah, said, the one who overcomes his hawa, his desire, is like him who conquers a city by himself. Is like him who conquers a city by himself. And in the authentic hadith attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. In the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the strong is not the one who overcomes the people by his strength, but the strong is the one who controls himself while in anger. Whenever he trains himself on opposing his desires, he would gain additional strength to his own. The most enriched in the maru'ah, in the noble character of the people, is him who has the strongest opposition to his desires. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan said, maru'ah is the abandonment of desires and passions, and the disobedience of al-hawa. The following of desires weakens al-maru'ah, the moral character, and its opposition strengthens it. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, may Allah be pleased with him. Who is Muawiyah? Muawiyah is the Sahabi, is the companion. Sakhr bin Harb bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab, Abu Abd al-Rahman, nickname. The Amir of al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, and the king of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, bestow upon him the knowledge of the book, the Quran, and save him from torment. The Prophet ﷺ said, O Allah, bestow upon him the knowledge of the book, the Quran, and save him from torment. And this is reported by Imam Ahmad in his book Fada'il al-Sahaba, The Merits of the Companions. The checker said that its isnad, the chain, is Hassan, is good, because of other supporting narrations. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also invoked Allah, saying, O Allah, make of him, Muawiyah, a guide to the truth, cause him to be rightly directed, and cause others to be rightly directed by him. And this is reported by Imam Ahmad and by Tirmidhi. And as Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, it is sahih, it is authentic. Muawiyah was one of the companions who recorded the revelation. Contrary to many false reports, Muawiyah did not seek to take over the Khilafah from Ali, may Allah be pleased with all of them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Imam al-Zahabi and al-Tabari and many other scholars from the Salaf asserted that Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with him, used to acknowledge that Ali radiallahu ta'ala an is better than him, and that he, Muawiyah, does not deserve the Khilafah. His position, however, was that he wanted Ali to punish the assassins of Uthman before he would give his loyalty to Ali. He thought that he was on the truth regarding this matter. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the other hand, conditioned that Muawiyah must give the pledge of loyalty to him because he was the Khalifa, and that he thought it was wise to wait until he consolidates his power and then seek Uthman's assassins. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had nothing to do with the killing of Uthman. Based upon many authentic narrations and prophecies from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ahlus Sunnah consider Ali to be on the side of the truth. The fitna was ignited by a group of dissidents known as As-Saba'iyya, whose leader Abdullah bin Saba' was a Jew who considered Ali to be Allah incarnate. Most of the Sahaba of the companions kept themselves away from the fitna and only a few, not exceeding 30, shared in the fighting between the army of Ali and Muawiyah. The Islamic rule at the time of Muawiyah's kingdom was very strong, whereby the Muslims ruled a vast area extended from Khorasan in the east to the West African coast, and from Cyprus in the Mediterranean to the Yemen in south. The reason why that I have highlighted some of these important facts is that most of what had been written about this fitna is either, number one, fully historical and not authenticated; second, compiled by Orientalists; thirdly, promoting baseless accounts by the rejectionists of the Shia, known for their lies. The fully documented and authenticated reports from Ahlul Hadith, the people of Hadith, regarding the fitna, gave us the true positions of the companions regarding this matter. An excellent source on this is the book which is called, entitled Al-Awasim Min Al-Qawasim by Abu Bakr bin Al-Arabi Al-Maliki, not the infamous mystic Sufi Ibn Arabi, and with the commentary on that book by Muhibbuddin Al-Khatib Rahimahullah, the 5th edition. And Allah, the Most High, knows best. We stop here inshallah ta'ala, and we continue the rest concerning the means to overcome the desires and their temptations. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.